Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome, guys. Guess who's back? It's me, Adam, and Danielle's here too.
Hello.
And we have Amy Alpert, our life coach, back here.
Hi.
And we have an episode for you today.
Well, wait.
Not a new episode.
Wait.
Okay.
It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday to Amy.
Thank you.
Yay. And she chose to spend it with us.
I know.
Which, wow, your life is lame.
I feel so bad for you.
It's really, honestly, a highlight.
But, like, and I was going to say, would you, I don't know, can I ask how old you are? Is that, like, a, remember with our, so Amy is my sister.
You don't ask a lady how old she is.
Well, I was just going to say, do you remember, like, with our grandmother, our mom, we called her mom, mm-hmm. one of our grandmothers. I never really knew how old she was. Did you?
I don't remember thinking about that.
Well, we weren't supposed to ask her.
Oh, really?
Yes.
She cared about that.
She was very, she did not like to talk about that. We were supposed to believe she was a natural blonde.
Right. Which was really old lady yellow.
Right. Old lady yellow. Exactly. It was like the brightest. It was like cabbage patch blonde.
Yeah. Which she had forever. So it was hard to tell how old she was.
Right. And then, and she looked good. She was like a pretty lady. But she, no, we were not allowed to ask. But that's not really a thing anymore. Right? Like nobody, I don't think anybody in our generation, I don't want to say our, I
yeah,
mean
but we're
after
not
your
90.
Generation, Amy.
You're saying our generation.
Well, we're not
like,
old yet.
Like
I'm never going to care. Are you ever going to care?
I'm never going to care.
I like be proud, right?
No, it's awesome to be aging in some way.
But our grandmothers did care.
Yeah, but she also made me really nice birthday cake.
Yes.
Which nobody has done since then.
Well, no. Our sister-in-law makes very good.
Yeah, thank God. But where is she? She's all
the
way far away.
She should have come.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so you're 48.
I'm 48.
7 years older than I am. I just needed to throw that
in there. And wiser.
And wiser. You have always been, you will always be wiser.
Yes.
Yes. But happy birthday.
Thank
Thanks for
you.
Spending it
I know,
with us.
I, this is honestly like the highlight of my, I'm so excited
That's
to be
so
back.
Sad.
I know. Kind but of. I really, I mean, you guys are fun. I bet there's a lot of listeners who are like, this would be a cool place to be.
Oh, yeah. We could do like a Marriage and Martinis birthday party.
For who? Marriage and Martinis?
No, you come on and you
We're
record.
We're almost at one.
Yeah, right.
Are you really? Wait, what's 1 year for you?
July will be a year.
Yeah.
Oh, Marriage and Martinis anniversary.
Isn't that your anniversary? No, that's your birthday.
What?
July.
Yes.
Yeah. But your anniversary is around then, right?
August 3rd.
That's kind of cool. They're similar.
Yeah, it's fine.
It is the marriage that of the marriage and the martinis.
Right. But I'm saying we could host birthday parties where you come on and you do a marriage and martinis session for your birthday.
That's cool.
Right. For like $5,000.
Sure.
They could see these really awesome digs you've got going on here.
Oh, the beach towel from Costco.
That's awesome. But it's good if you spill your wine on it.
Well, that's why we have it, because we're super messy
klutzy.
And klutzy.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of the chit chat. Because that's what we've been told. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let Amy Alpert explain what we're talking about today.
Okay. So the topic today in honor of Mother's Day is the mental load, which is sort of a new term, but I think a lot of people are becoming familiar with it. Danielle did a
Instagram story.
An Instagram story, and it seems like people were pretty familiar with the term. So let me give you a few definitions of it. Okay, so the mental load, I'm just going to read a few descriptions of it, definitions. The mental load is the behind-the-scenes work. It's the endless running to-do list. It's heavy, and in most families, it's carried by the mom. It's the unofficial keepers of where the entire family needs to be and when, and perpetual guardians against anything falling through the cracks. And it's almost like being the manager. So it's this idea that you are in charge of the whole thing. So even if people do pieces of it, you're the one who's thinking through, making sure everything happens. And first of all, what needs to happen? How does it need to happen? And then finally, does it happen? And that's part of the mental load.
And that nobody's really going to be there to pick it up if you don't.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the scary part.
And I think that what I'm finding is just putting a name to it and a definition to it is huge. Like, we're going to make huge strides in improving this now that it has a name. Mm. Don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that if you want to talk about the stats of the Instagram story, we're all obviously suffering from the same type of thing, because 96% saying, yes, I suffer from the mental load. So we needed a name for it.
And a bigger study says 86%. So like a study that was actually done says 86%. So that's pretty substantial. And I think for yours, it was all women. And I think for this study, it was all mothers.
When we do these, I'm noticing we're not as, you always say we're all women.
No, Adam. But you put mother's mental load.
Oh, right. Yes, I did. Story. Yes, you're right. You're right. But I am noticing we're a lot more male-based than I think we give ourselves credit for.
And you ask questions of the men, and we'll get to that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say I started off with this. I sent Adam a text earlier saying to him, listen, this is a really important episode, I think, for everybody out there and for me. And number one, it's almost Mother's Day, so I'm going to say two things. I'm going to say, in honor of Mother's Day, have your spouse listen to this. That could be part of their Mother's Day gift to you, is that this is an important topic that we're all dealing with. And in honor of Mother's Day, let's all listen together, because this is something that is affecting all of us and we need to shed light on it. And I also said to Adam, because I know how his mind operates and we've had this discussion several times, please listen. I know his first reaction is going to be when I say, well, I do this, his first reaction is going to be, but I do this. But let's just sit and listen a little bit, because there's a reason it's called a mother's mental load, or a mental load, but that most of the moms are having it.
Right.
Okay. Quick rebuttal.
Oh, here we go.
Yep.
I know it's two against one here.
Exactly. So you know. Okay. Listen, I'm here as the male point of view. It's not just a mother's mental load. Men have it too. I'm going to be here to state the case for us guys, but I want to listen and hear what both of you women have to say. I have to look to my right and my left and get the eyes coming towards me, mm-hmm. shooting me through the skull.
Forget eyes. It's going to be knives.
Okay. So this is one thing. So I sent an email out. You sent this out, your story out. And so we're just one example, right? So we have our experiences. But there's a lot of emotion out there.
Yes.
Among women. So when you heard about mental load, I don't know if it stirred up the emotional response in you. I could be wrong. That I have noticed that it stirs up in women. People feel like, thank you for putting a name to this. You know, this is what I've been experiencing, but I didn't have a name for it. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that sort of relief when you heard the word mental load? Were you like, oh my God, thank you for putting a name to it?
No. But I realize that it's a real thing, and mm-hmm. I realize it's something that both women and men deal with. Mm-hmm. So I think this is a really good, important topic that we're talking about, because it's good for all of us to get this kind
absolutely.
Of out there.
Well, and so we can, do you want to jump into, so we were thinking about some ways to tackle this on this podcast. And the first step we were talking about was, how do you make the invisible visible? So first, let's just get out there. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, do you want to talk about a few of the polls that we did for our community? Mm-hmm. So we have We did a poll just today. I knew it wouldn't take long to get a ton of responses. And we did a, some. I put out some polls and some questions. And I always like to use listener feedback because as much as, you know, we're talking about everything in society, I feel like marriage and martinis is a pretty good microcosm of familial society. You know, the standard, you know, maybe familial society. And I think that... we get a lot of honest feedback about how people are feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to just say a few of the polls that we got in our community of, you know, 115,000 people.
So what you said already was 96% are affected by a mother's mental load. And then this is not gender specific. Invisible tasks. Do you feel that you have tasks that your spouse knows nothing about, is completely invisible to them? 96%. So yeah. Men and women. And then the idea of, do you feel resentful of the fact that you have this in, these invisible tasks? And that was 78%. Again, not gender specific. I think that was it for the percentages. And then we asked specific examples of things that were invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to go through those, or do you guys want to share
yours? We can in a little bit. Yeah.
What about the tasks that you know your partner does that you just say, okay, that's their kind of thing, and you have no role or responsibility to it? I mean, does that count towards this, or is that not invisible because know about it?
I think the invisible piece of it is people feel unappreciated when they do invisible things. So... if you're not appreciating what they do and it's visible, then I'm not sure that that's all that much better.
Well, are you, or if you're assuming that they want to be doing it,
right?
Maybe there's an, you know, there's this assumption sort of that, oh, they're fine just having that on their plate.
Right.
That's just part of their role.
Well, and you become habituated. I mean, look, you have a 13-year-old. You've been doing this for a long time. How much have your roles changed in 13 years as parents? In terms of who does what.
Not a lot.
And that doesn't need to be the case, right?
Right.
Like, you can shake it up and be like, honestly, I hate doing the trash. I hate taking the trash out every Wednesday. You know? Mm-hmm. Switch it up.
Right.
So I think that maybe this idea of mental load is a good opportunity to reflect on. Or maybe, like, whoever takes the kids to school in the morning or gets them ready for the bus. Maybe that doesn't make sense anymore because now your job has changed. Or your sleep patterns have changed and it makes more sense for the other person to be doing that. So it is kind of fun, I think, to look at this as like, okay.
A reassessment.
Reassess. Like, why do you do that? I mean, I'm good at math. Why are you doing the checkbook? Mm-hmm. You know, like, who knows? Maybe you need to rethink that.
Is it okay that one of us does one thing the other person knows about, has no involvement in whatsoever, just because we both think, okay, this is kind of your thing, that's kind of my thing, and we both don't get involved. Is that okay?
If it, I guess if it's going well, it's okay, right? But and if you both want to be doing that.
But if it's going well,
it's interesting with your financial episode that you had. That was really revealing for me, like listening to the finance episode. And the fact that, and I also, I'm a life coach, and I've had several clients who they've done that. Like, I'm in charge of raising the kids and like making sure that their emotional needs are met. You're in charge of the financials. And that has gone horribly wrong, where suddenly you discover that the husband hasn't been managing the money so well.
Yeah, those are two huge, like, macro scale things that one person's taking care of, the other person's taking care of, where, in just in my opinion, that's too big just to put on one person.
I agree.
Yeah, one person should not be in charge of the kids. One person should not be in charge of the
finances. I love the way you put that. Yeah, those are big things.
I'm talking more about the micro,
yeah.
You know, where, like you said, taking out the trash. Like, okay, well, fine, I do that.
I think that's part of what mental load is letting go 100% of certain things. So, like, the fact that you don't have to think about the trash at all, that's amazing, right? So, like... and the fact that you don't have to think about dentist appointments at all, that's amazing. So the more we can identify those things where we just trust that the other person is going to do it and do it well, I think that's what relieves the mental load, right? That's the ultimate goal.
Well, that's why I was kind of bringing this up, is if it's okay or not, because it becomes this mental load, because it's all on let's say, Danielle's shoulders because she's in charge of dentist appointments. I know nothing about them. I don't know when they go. I don't even know how much it costs. I don't know anything about it. But is that a mental load? Like, is that something that she's thinking to herself, well, I got this because you got this other thing?
Well, I think that's a good step into what you're saying the first step is mm-hmm. into figuring that out. So let's get to that because sure. it'll be answered in what you're going to say, kind of. And I think this is... So the whole thing is with the mental load is it's obviously happening. We're all stressed beyond belief with it. Like, it's hard. And we need to figure out, okay, so how are we going to take care of this? We're all complaining about it. We're all fighting about it or we're silently resenting it. So let's figure out how to take care of it. And that's where you come in. And I obviously have spoken to you because we speak like 14 times a day. But I love you have sort of some steps that we should all take. And this is why I say... You need to listen. You both spouses need to be listening to this because mm-hmm. listen, Adam is representing for the men. So this is not a bash session. This is not, but there is an underlying mom's mental load that we need to be addressing, and fathers need it too. Husbands need it too. But first of all, it's almost Mother's Day. And second of all,
for the sixth time,
I'm going to use Mother's that. Day. I'm probably going to use it.
And it's my birthday.
And it is your birthday. And you are female and a mom. Hello.
Hello.
Okay. So let's go through the steps of what are we doing to address this?
So one book that I read that was really helpful that I'm going to steal some stuff from is called Drop the Ball by Tiffany Duthu. And you're going to put that up somewhere or no?
Yeah. We'll look it up in the show notes.
Yeah, Tiffany Duthu.
So it's called Drop the Ball by Tiffany Duthu. She is like very successful person and has been figuring this out with her spouse, you know. And she describes in the book how they figure it out. And it's really, she's very truthful and really takes us from like when things were not... when she had everything on herself to how they figure it out together. And
I love that you're always willing to read all these books because then you give the Cliff Note version.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
But this is really a book worth reading, especially if you're a working mom. It's mm-hmm. very geared towards working mom, but even if you're not, I think it's helpful. So she talks about the MEL. The MEL is the Management Excel List. And basically what she says is everybody, so the two people in the marriage sit down and go through everything that they do. And she even tells a funny story about how they're going through everything. And she's writing down all the things, the dentist appointments and the school stuff and the birthday parties. And then her husband says, I fill the Brita every week or every time it needs to be refilled. She's like, fine. Put it on the list.
I mean, most Britas don't, the filters don't get changed.
They don't get
changed. So I do understand it's important. Usually you're drinking unfiltered water in a Brita, so you might as well be drinking tap water.
You feel better about it, though, even if it's unfiltered, even if it's
totally.
Like 4 months old.
Totally.
So, but anyway, that's like the level of detail that we're talking about. So you put all those things down and then you create, I think she said three categories, but I would add a fourth. So one category is...
And this should be like Excel spreadsheet
or whatever uh-huh. like your technical skill is or a piece of paper, whatever works. Uh-huh. Although the nice thing about Excel is that we can change it, right? And that's like really important. This idea of it being a flexible document that as things change in your life, it's constantly, you can reflect on it. Like, oh, wow, you keep messing that up. Let's change that. So there's the column for Adam. There's the column for Danielle. There's the column for delegating. So maybe that means delegating it to a housekeeper, to a nanny, to a landscaper, to a child. You know, maybe your kids could pick up the slack, a grandparent. And then there's a column for, we're just going to give up on that. So like a good example for that would be car wash. Like maybe, I mean, for me, I haven't washed my car. I can't even remember the last time. So maybe that's just something you just say, we're not going to get to that this year. You know, our life is too busy.
Take it off our plate.
Mm-hmm. And then you agree to that together. And then when you tackle this, you think about what am I good at and what do I like? Mm-hmm. So for me, like, I don't mind doing the laundry. It doesn't bother me. So I'm going to take laundry. you know, my husband Gideon loves to do the freaking dishwasher every single day.
He does so, love the dishwasher.
Oh my God, he's
obsessed. He really does love the dishwasher.
It's really a problem. So he does,
it's like Tetris for him.
He doesn't even do that.
You're
kind of
like
a job
trying to figure out.
Right. No, but he's not even good at it like that. Oh. No, like I think he's broken something every single time he's done it.
Right.
He just likes it to get done. So anyway, he does the dishwasher. So like that's how you tackle it. And you try to give over complete tasks over to the other person. So mm-hmm. How do you guys feel about that idea?
So we're both sitting down. It's sort of like in our sexual communication episode where you did the yes, no, maybe checklist, right? Where you have certain things where you're like, all right, I would try this. I would not try this. I would maybe try this. But it's we're listing.
Not as fun.
Right.
But yeah.
Right. But equally as important.
Equally important.
But we're each listing all the tasks that we think we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that could take a while.
Right.
So it's something that maybe you need to be like in your notes app on your phone or something, just constantly as you're doing things, taking notes of it, and you take a week or two to do that.
That's a great idea. Like plan ahead. Like this right. week, I'm going to think about everything I do.
Both
and
of
write
you.
It down.
Both of you.
Totally.
That you're both saying for the next 2 weeks. And then if you're not done in the 2 weeks, fuck it. You don't get the credit for it.
Right. Right.
So get it done. So you're both taking notes, and then you're going to reconvene in a couple weeks in a very calm environment.
With wine.
With wine. Maybe
a martini.
Maybe a masseuse in the Bahamas. Right. With some extra cocktails. And you're gonna go over the lists and sort of talk about it and say, listen, you know, for me, something that I really, really, really hate making sure the kids do, really, really hate it, is making sure they brush their teeth. I just, for some reason, I fucking hate it. And I feel like every morning, every night, I'm like, can you brush your teeth? Can you brush your teeth? Like, and then they don't do it. And I'm like, well, fuck it. They're not doing it. Fine. Their teeth will fall out. That's on them. But that's something I would like to hand over. Maybe
yeah.
we need to have a conversation. Like,
I'm picturing
maybe,
like Halloween when you have all the candy out. And you're like, you can have my Reese's if you give me your Snickers.
Right.
Like, that's sort of how it could be.
Right, exactly.
Like, you take toothbrushing and
yes.
I'll take.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
And that makes sense. Good
yeah.
analogy.
Yeah. Yeah, like a trade. Like a, okay. Like, it could be fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe Adam will say, well, okay, I don't really care. But you also need to follow through with it once you start it.
Well, so that's, okay, that's another, can I interrupt?
Yes, please, okay. because okay. this is huge.
Okay, so there's
the
another.
The follow through is huge.
There's another big piece of this, though. And this woman, Tiffany Dufu, talks about this, too. And she says, there's something called the home control disease. I don't know that you have this so much, Danielle, but a lot of listeners probably do. So I'm going to talk about it. And it's this idea that when you hand it off, she calls it delegating joyfully. When you hand something off.
What a soft
yeah,
term
like,
for that.
You've got to let go. So like if the way you want the kids to brush their teeth is different from the way Adam wants the kids to brush their teeth, you guys have to come to some sort of resolution. So if you really think he's going to do a bad job and the kids are going to end up in cavities, you might have to keep that.
Mm.
Or like somehow convince him to hold it to your standard. So that's something to think about. So for instance, if you want the dishwasher filled an exact way and you can't let go of that, even if you hate it, you really can't hand that over because you can't hand that over joyfully. You're not really delegating it. You're holding on to it in some way.
Right. And that's going to lead to problems.
And that's going
to
lead to problems. So
yeah, I feel that way about the trash. Like that's something that Danielle has never done. I don't think we'd even know how to do.
You put a fucking trash in the trash bin.
Exactly. That's the point. That's not all you do. There's so much more with the boxes that you throw in the garage and the stuff in the boxes. Some's recycling, some is not. Some go into certain bags. But I enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I don't get mad that she trashes up the garage and throws the shit everywhere. I actually...
Well, the garage is your escape.
It gives me an hour to go into the garage right. and be by
so
myself.
So that's something you like to do.
I do.
I
enjoy doing it. So I would never say, hey, listen, you don't do it. You don't think about it. You do it.
That's your Reese's.
I
you kinda, keep that.
Yeah, I keep that one.
Yeah.
I love that you choose Reese's.
I would say Skittles.
That's my candy, too.
Yeah.
It's not Skittles.
I'll take the Skittles.
That's
you
like
can have
Hudson.
The Reese's.
I will give you any Skittles
anything.
You want.
I know. I will hand over
anything
Skittles.
Anything without chocolate is
that's
yours
like
except Swedish Fish. Swedish Fish.
I like Swedish Fish, yeah. Oh, shoot. You and I like too much of the same stuff.
Well, we don't need to delegate, luckily.
Right, thank God.
Yeah.
No, but I know if, like you just said, you just fucking throw the trash out. Like, if I said, Danielle, you take care of the trash, it would not get done properly to my...
To your standards.
And that's HCD, home control disease, which is perfect. Yeah. As long as you can acknowledge it and you're like, okay, I got to hold on to that.
Yeah. There's a certain way to do it, yeah. And that's how I want it done.
Totally.
Yeah,
I mean, home control disease can be good as long as you're the one who's going to do it.
Right. But it, the negative is like, you know, with my mother-in-law, if my father-in-law would walk into the kitchen, she'd be like, just get out.
Right.
Like, don't even touch anything.
Oh, my God. That's my dream is for someone to say that to me.
But a lot of times that's the case, right? Like, we want our husbands to help or our wives to help, but then we really, like, create a kind
right,
of
we want them to
unsavory
do it
environment. Mm-hmm. So... Okay, so where were we?
So we were saying that you have to delegate. You make a list, uh-huh. And you're going to check it off, whoever is the person to do it. But I was talking about the follow through. So here's my example. Okay. So my example is that first of all, when the kids were babies, I remember, and this is what I think I'm going to talk about this for a minute, because this is something that comes up again and again and again and again. And I am the one who gets all the messages from people. So I am the one who sees the repetition of thoughts of what's going on in people's minds. And something I get again and again, which is huge for me also in our marriage, is my husband doesn't do something unless I ask. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's huge. And even like I was saying, we went to Adam's therapist together, and I was saying it really frustrates me that he can't do something, that he doesn't look around the house and is like, oh, that needs to get done. I'm going to do it. Instead, I have to delegate it to him.
So you're the manager. That's, remember, the manager idea.
Yeah, and that's another thing that's like, and it's fine to a degree, because I do just want it to get done. And if that's the means to the end, then okay, fine. The problem is when I delegate and it doesn't get done. So like, for instance, our son plays the drums. Doesn't sound like a serious thing. It's not a serious thing. But I have always said to Adam, he's a drummer too. I fight with our son, our middle son, about homework. I fight with him about cleaning his room. I fight with him about showering. Like all this stuff that I argue with him about, that I have said to Adam again and again, he needs to practice his drums. Can you please be the one to make sure he practices his drums? Because number one, Adam can go downstairs and play the drums with him, and they can make it like a bonding thing. Well, he has never made sure that Ian practices the drums. And that's frustrating to me, because here I am delegating, and that's like, I think that's a super reasonable thing to delegate, right? Can have him practice the drums. Like, that's not a huge thing. And Adam enjoys it. He loves to listen to Ian practice the drums.
So what's up?
I have no rebuttal to that.
Okay.
Do you not enjoy it? I mean, is it not something that you enjoy as much as we would think you would enjoy?
I do. I've brought it up to him.
Uh-huh.
And it's always... okay, we'll do it later, Dad. We'll do
but
it.
But that's,
you know,
how I deal with him for everything.
Right. So
why can't this be your one thing that you deal with?
It could.
For that?
I could do better.
Oh. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Love it.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's the wine.
No.
No, it's not, because we've seen what it can also have with wine.
No, but that's good. So like, if you could take ownership, and I think that's what the mental load is. Like, if you could take ownership of Ian and the drums, mm-hmm. then cool.
Okay, done.
Done.
But,
love that.
Okay. Yes. Woohoo.
Maybe, yeah. Like, that's just what it takes, right? To be reminded.
I know, but we have.
Okay.
This has happened this
is all good.
For years.
This is all good.
Like, I remember when our kids were babies, I used to say to you, I don't know if you remember this. Do you remember what task
I don't know
I used
what you said
you?
Yet.
When Mia was a baby, every morning I gave you a task. I would say to you, because you helped none when she was a baby. And I finally said to you, can you do this? Do you remember what it was that I would have you do?
Say it again.
I didn't breastfeed, I bottle fed. Mm-hmm. And every morning at like 6 a.m., somebody would need to get up and boil the water for the formula. When she was an infant, you would need to boil the water. Okay. And I would say, and I would always feel like he would do it, but it would be like, oh, okay. And I think that's important to say, because I think the importance is if that's going to be your job, then.
Right. Because that feels like delegating again versus.
Not only does it feel like delegated,
it
but it feels like they're resentful of it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to delegate and you're going to have like, just let's just.
But that's what's great about this Excel spreadsheet, right? Or whatever it ends up being. Like. It's a decision between the two of you. So that's not like there's nobody in charge. You know, you're in charge of your column, you're in charge of your column, and hopefully you can let go. I mean, it might take time. Mm-hmm. And there might be some trial and error. Like, you may discover that, oh my God, I'm really not good at this, and I want the other person, you know. Like, so we were talking also about maybe having check-ins. Like, so you create this Excel spreadsheet, you start doing it, and then you have check-ins. Almost like a, like, you know.
But maybe you're part of the morning meeting and the
part
weekend.
Of this morning meeting that you guys are doing for the podcast. You can also, do you do it for the podcast or you do it for your whole life?
Well, we did recently start at your, you know, because you said, yeah, you said we should start having morning meetings, and we have, and it really does help. We have an hour where we're sitting drinking coffee anyway, and we sit in this room and it's fun, and we talk and we say, okay, this is the schedule for this week, and that has helped. And I think it's important.
Yeah.
All right. Kids just got home. We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, we need to take a break.
We need to take a 3P break, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
We're called Marriage and Martinis for a reason. We enjoy our martinis.
And marriage.
Oh, all right. And marriage. Yeah. That's true. Right. But I'm excited because, well, now that I'm 40, I need a little extra help in the bouncing back after a fun night or after a plane ride or after just getting off the couch, whatever it is. But I'm excited because we have partnered with Zaka Recovery Chewable Supplement, which is an awesome remedy for hangovers, exercise, travel, altitude, anything you need recovery from. And I've been taking it. They're delicious, number one.
Yeah. And we've given them to other people to try. And the first thing they say, wow, these are good.
Yeah, I know. And one of my friends who took them with me last week, she was like, oh, I'm kind of skeptical about this. Yep. And then she texts me the next morning. She goes, oh my God, this stuff really works.
Yeah, we're like religious with this thing now.
Yeah.
We take them every single time we record.
Yeah. And once I start exercising again, I plan on taking them also then.
So go to zakalife.com/pages/marriage or just go to zakalife.com and use the coupon code marriage. Either way.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You're going to save $5 off your order.
$5.
$5.
$5.
You got a coupon right there. Bam. So these all-natural chewables are delicious for one, and now you can enjoy a few cocktails, extensive travel, or a tough workout without paying the price later. ZakaLife.com.
I'm so proud to talk about Simple Health, which is making birth control so much more convenient, affordable, and discreet for women. You can skip the doctor's office, the pharmacy lines, all the awkwardness of picking it up in person if you don't like that. And you can go to their website, fill out a comprehensive online health profile, answer some questions formulated to get the best birth control for you, your body, your preferences, your insurance situation. And if you already have a brand that you love and are on, they have 100 brands of the pill, as well as the patch and the ring. And it's just makes so much sense. I wish I had had this when I was in my early 20s living in New York because I was so bad at always going and picking up my birth control on time and it always messed me up. This service, however, is not a replacement for routine evaluations in your primary care physician or gynecologist, but it does make getting birth control so much simpler, and that's exactly what we should be doing. So head to simplehealth.com and put in promo code MNM or go to simplehealth.com/MNM and get your $20 prescription fee waived. That's simplehealth.com/MNM or simplehealth.com and put in the promo code MNM. Go check it out. It's really awesome. In a couple weeks is Mother's Day. And for the next few weeks, we are going to be concentrating on our deserving moms because they deserve as much attention as we can possibly give them. And I have been getting a subscription box, TheraBox. I love it. And I asked them if maybe they would do a giveaway for some of our lucky listeners, and they said yes. So in honor of Mother's Day, TheraBox is going to give two listeners in the Marriage and Martinis community a subscription box. So if you, on May 2nd, go to Marriage and Martinis on Instagram, you'll see a post where I talk all about the box you can win with over $125 worth of goodies in it. And it's really the whole box, the idea of it every month is just a little something for your own self-care to put a little time aside just for you. And if you want to win one for yourself as a deserving mom or for your wife or for your mom or for your sister, whomever, just go to Marriage and Martinis. Also, make sure you're following TheraBox at MyTheraBox on Instagram. And you can tag friends in the comments if you know somebody who you want to win. But just make sure, no matter what, that you like the post, that you're following us, and you're following MyTheraBox. And also go check them out, mytherabox.com. So I'm excited, and we'll pick the winners on May 4th, and then they'll just ship you the box.
I think that's awesome. I struggle with what do I do for you for Mother's Day, and if I could just get you a box full of stuff that's going to make you feel like good about yourself, I'm happy.
Yeah,
I'm sold.
It's really I love the idea behind the box, which is really just it's self care and anything you can do, just a little time to take care of yourself.
Yeah, when I was watching you open the box, I saw how excited you
I
were.
I really
about
was
the contents
very excited,
of the box.
And our daughter was very excited also, so that was fun. So. Just go check it out. May 2nd, head to Marriage and Martinis on Instagram. If you're not following us already, follow us and follow My TheraBox.
So we talked about how you're going to continue your meetings.
Yeah, the morning meetings have been huge because we were not communicating well. Like throughout the week, we were texting each other and then we would get sidetracked and we wouldn't put things in the calendar. The morning meeting where we both sit, I like a written calendar. He likes a
digital.
Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah, like an app.
On a computer.
Yeah. Yes. He likes the intranet. And
well, we text all day while I'm at work, so I get a fraction of what you're talking to me about texting.
Well, you're like that when I talk to you too. Okay. Don't act like it's all just right. Texting.
But I'm at work and I'm trying to get everything you're saying to me. We don't get to communicate very well when I'm at work and you're at home working on this stuff. So this hour that we have together to get together and do this is important because we can actually concentrate 100% both of us.
Yes. And then I can see that you're actually writing things down, that when you say I didn't know about it, I'm like, fucker, look at your calendar. And then right. I could be like, you're wrong. You did know.
So when do you meet? What's the date and time?
There's not a date and time. Over the weekend, we sit in the morning after we get our coffee and we just sit in here and we just look over the calendar and organize.
Awesome. So what about your next time that you're together? You sit and create this Excel spreadsheet, this MEL.
Well, I think we're going to need a few weeks to sit down and really, like, I think it's going to take a couple
first
weeks
identify
to get it all out, you know?
That's a great idea.
And then we'll sit and go over it together. But I think also we should start thinking about, as everybody should at home, you know, I think at home even, you need to start thinking about, okay, what is something that is really bothering me that I think that my partner might be better at than I am, mm-hmm. or that
it will bother them less.
Yeah, or it will bother them less, or it works better with, like you were saying, works better with their schedule, be it a drop off at preschool or going to pick up a kid at practice or just anything at all that can take a little bit off our plate, because there is so much and there is the expectation. I just this morning spoke to Adam about the fact that on the weekends, it's just expected because it's a weekend that I'm going to pick the kids up wherever they are.
I actually think it's a good idea. And I think that Gideon and I do this. I think it's a good idea to think about your weekend. Like what Gideon will say to me sometimes, what are the things that we need to get done this weekend? Or what are the things you're hoping to get done? Because the weekends, especially for working parents, but even for stay-at-home parents, the weekend is the time when things get done. So to sit down and say, okay, what are our priorities? What are the things that we have to get done? And so it's like a team effort versus like, what does Adam want to get done versus what does Danielle want to get done? So if you come together and you're like, okay, these are the three top priorities for the weekend, because sometimes that's when things happen.
Okay. Ready?
No, I'm definitely not ready. Can you fill my glass up first, please?
Gideon? I feel like there's certain things that we've been talking about so far where the kids have to be somewhere or things that are in Danielle's mind that have to get done. Mm-hmm. And it's, I need help. Can you take care of this part of it? Can you take... But forgetting about the things that she doesn't even think about that I do. And I never say, can you help me with this?
Can you give an example, please?
Okay. Danielle does not like stinky water. Have you ever thought about how you don't get stinky water?
Someone said that, the salt. Yeah, I know.
Okay. Danielle has never once salted the water tank. Danielle has never once chlorinated the hot water heater. Do you even know that that happens?
Well, you're only talking about the tangible things, but there's a whole intangible aspect of it, which is our kid came home from school today and nobody sat with him at lunch. I'm the one thinking about that. And
or he smelled because the water smells in our house. So nobody wants to sit with him.
Or, you know, our daughter, you know, maybe she needs to have a tutor because she's not doing well in math. And like all these intangible things that mm-hmm. you're not thinking of that are also on our minds as moms, because I think, I don't care if we're talking about division of quote unquote labor and the physical aspect of it. The emotional aspect is so on us that we're the ones thinking of how are they doing with their friends? Are they getting invited to birthday parties? Are they, you know, having enough play dates? Did they get to be on the soccer team with the right friends? Did they, mm-hmm. all these things that would never cross your mind.
Correct. I agree with you.
Oh, I know it's correct. Yes. You don't have to.
So there's things that you think about that I never will. There's things that I think about that you never will.
Well, not if you do your Excel spreadsheet.
Could it be a thing where going back to the beginning of when humans just came to be
salted and the tank?
Moms were the providers. Do kids need their moms because they think of these things where the men don't?
I don't think that this is about saying you need to do these things per se, right? Everybody needs to play to their strengths. But I think it's an awareness. I think you should know that Danielle is doing these things. I think that's part of it. Like, I think it's this idea of awareness, this invisibility of what people do and the fact. So for an example, I was telling you about, if I was letting my son go to school one day and I saw a rash on his arm, and then all day long I'm worried about that rash and I'm looking it up on Google and I'm thinking, okay, when he comes home, is the rash going to be worse? Is the rash going to be better? Is the rash going to be the same? In those three scenarios, how am I going to handle it? That's mental load, right?
Right.
So that's me thinking, oh my God, how am I going to handle this situation? And possibly Danielle does that, but she's not texting you about it. I saw a rash on Ian's arm and I'm worried about it. So that's part of the mental load. It's this constant worry and thinking about our kids and trying to figure out, you know, what we're going to do. You know, a child not sitting with somebody at lunch or making sure they're friends with the right kids or making sure they're getting the help in math that they want to get. That's that like recurring story going through their head all the time that perhaps you're not aware of because we're not going to necessarily sit and tell you about all of that.
Okay.
So that's, I think, part of the mental load. It's the health and emotional well-being of our kids that can be exhausting.
Of our family, too. Our parents.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, I'm constantly worrying about, we have two aging parents. Like, you know, I'm worried about his mom. I'm worried about our parents. Like, all these things that I think fall on us because maybe we're more emotional beings, mm-hmm. that we just take the brunt of it. And it's just
thought that, okay, well, we're going to take care of it.
But I think that what this brings up is not going to necessarily like pick up on all of those things, but at least it's getting you in the right direction.
Yeah. And at least it's getting it all out there. It prompts conversation. Exactly. And there are certain things I think that Adam will sometimes we joke with each other and we get annoyed with each other that we'll say, oh, well, that's your department. Mm. And then we get angry at each other for saying that because, well, we don't really want to have a department.
Right.
We
want it's a lot of responsibility.
Yeah. And we don't want that to be a fallback. But there are some things that he can do that I can't. There are some things I can do that he can't. And I think that the reassessing idea of it all is huge.
Yeah. And then also what was interesting in this book, this Drop the Ball, is the idea, so we talked about the home control. The
disorder, home control.
Home control disorder or something like that, yeah. Where like you need things to be done a certain way. Mm-hmm. So when you're going through your list, you have to decide, am I able to give this up fully to someone who might do it slightly different from me? And I did hear from a person when I sent out this email about what we're doing today. She had talked about her husband who is from another country, and she said, okay, I want you to take control of getting us there for travel to visit your family. And when he took over, he created a trip that took like 10 hours longer than it would have taken for her because he had all of these connections that didn't work. So he didn't do a great job of it. So it's this idea of, can you hand things over and will that person do a good job of it? So when you're doing your list, you need to evaluate that.
Mm-hmm. So you need to leave for the other person to see.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, so there's two things I think also that we need to be doing. So one is, and this is a great example from the book, where we can learn from our spouse. So this home control disease idea is sometimes we're not actually better at it than the other person. So for instance, this woman who wrote the book, she was talking about how her husband took over getting a babysitter that they needed. And what she used to do to get a babysitter is she would send one text to babysitter number one. Babysitter number one would get back to her and say no. She'd send another text to babysitter number two. Babysitter number two would come back and say no. And then she'd go to 3, 4, 5. What he did.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
Because I did the same thing.
Tell me.
Because Danielle would always say to me, can you try to get a babysitter for whatever we're doing this weekend? So at the same time, I would text 5 different people.
That's exactly, that's hysterical. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Right.
And she was like, that's so rude because, you know, people are going to respond. He's like, no, I'm sending out the text and whoever gets back to me first wins.
Right.
So like, brilliant. And so mm-hmm. that's where like, in some ways we can learn from each other. Right. Mm-hmm. So now that's definitely a more efficient way of getting a babysitter. And she learned that from her husband.
Right. And I think men in some ways, they are easy. You know, they're not as guilt ridden with a situation where, you know, in some ways, like it seems like a stupid thing for guys to RSVP to birthday parties. But on the same note, maybe they are the ones who should be RSVPing because they have such an easier time saying no. Maybe that's not a good role for us.
It's actually the opposite of getting an eye, but yes.
Oh, typically. Really?
Oh, yeah.
No, because I feel like, well, not anymore. I actually have gotten much better at saying no only in the last year or two.
Yeah.
But in some ways, a lot of women have a lot of trouble saying no, and men don't. So maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they should be the ones RSVPing to the Halloween party, the Christmas party, mm-hmm. the dinners, anywhere you don't want to go, the family function, the weddings. Maybe that's a better job for them.
Right.
And it's coming from them that the person can blame them and they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like, blame me. Like, I don't think Adam would care. Blame me.
And I also think, you know, when Danielle and I go away together every once in a while, just mm-hmm. for a night. But I also went away for a week for a program that I was doing to be a coach. And when I was away, my dog had an issue. And so my husband had to take the dog to the vet. He didn't even know who the hell our vet was.
Gideon.
Did you know who our vet was? Yes or no?
He knew you had a vet.
Did he?
He didn't put her to sleep.
Do you know what a vet? Thank God. Oh,
right?
My God.
I mean, that's
right.
That's a win.
I know.
You came back. She was still alive.
She was still alive. That's, but she had a huge
Gideon, I gave you a lot
tush.
Of credit for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, like he had to experience taking the dog to the vet.
Right.
Was it hard to take the dog to the vet?
He had to leave the house.
He had to leave. Right. But I mean, she's nervous. She's shaking. Yes. It's a lot. It's emotional. Mm-hmm. Yes. So
now, if Danielle said there was a problem with our dogs,
yeah,
and I had to take care of it,
yeah,
I'd be on a flight to Puerto Rico with the two dogs,
returning them to their families. Like, you guys want to meet your new family? You want to meet your old families?
Back to the landfills where they came from.
Here's the beach where we found you. Oh,
dead dog
so
beach.
Mean.
I know.
Where are the dogs?
That's not even funny. Yeah. See, they're here. They're scared of him.
Oh, look at them. They're shaking.
No, they're
so scared.
Not. No. That's funny. Not really, though.
No. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, getting away. And that does happen because when I went away, everybody knows the story, I'm sure, of how Adam brought our daughter to the wrong school twice. And if you do not, you need to go back to one of our first episodes, which was the hot mess parenting episode, and find out about how I went away for the like a Thursday and a Friday to a convention, like a blogging convention. And he took our daughter to school in the morning. And she, of course, always has her headphones on going to school. And she gets to school and he's like, okay, bye, sweetie. Have a good day. And she's like, I don't go to this school anymore. It was like February. She had been there for like 6 months. And then he had to pick her up when she was sick another time. And he went to the school and she's like, I'm here to pick up my daughter. She's sick, Mia. And they're like, there's no Mia here. And he went to the wrong school again.
Oh, my God.
I do a great job taking
at
care of the kids.
That's filling the salt in the salt.
That's putting the salt. Yes.
Listen.
That water smells good.
I get the kids up.
Our kids got to school and the teacher's like, you smell like a margarita.
I get the kids up. If Danielle's away, they drink healthy, fresh water. They have good breakfast, they smell clean, and they get to school. What happens after that?
Hey, they don't get to the right school.
All I said was school.
Right.
Okay, wait. So, Danielle, one thing we were talking about is how you want you and Adam to make some decisions together. Like, you feel like sometimes you're making the decisions on your own.
Yes.
Regarding parenting,
I think, in general, I feel like I'm in charge of most of the decision making,
which I think is a mental load related item. So perhaps during these meetings that you guys have, you come up with some plans. So like one of the things you were talking about is how many activities should the kids have?
Right. Like the kids come to us and want to do four activities. And I'm like, well, no, we can't afford for you to do four activities. Pick one or two. And like, I would just like some definitive, like, this is what they can do. Like Ian wants to do 16 things on the weekend. No, he can do two. But I also want reinforcement of that, you know? Yeah.
So that's something that you two could do together?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So maybe put that like on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's areas where you're feeling you need to make a decision or you need to reinforcement on a parenting issue. You've already decided on the drums, but there's other things probably that you need reinforcement on. So those are the things that can go on those weekly meetings.
But so what do I do if he doesn't do, like if in 3 weeks the drums aren't done?
I think it's just sort of getting to understand what's holding you back. So this is this idea of, you know, getting together and coming up with these things so that it's not a delegation. Because once you delegate something, you're kind of still in control, right? You're the manager.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to delegate. You guys want to both identify areas that you are wholly in charge of. So it's with the drums, that's something you're going to be wholly in charge of. And Danielle doesn't need to deal with that. And, you know, with the salt...
That was an example of one thing that I do that Danielle has no... There's plenty more. Stop making fun of those
things. I know about the salt. Trust me, I know about the fucking salt.
You used to know about the salt.
That's a great example.
God damn.
Oh, God.
We're laughing with you.
Right.
Not at you.
Right.
So the salt...
Yep.
Exactly.
Welcome to my world. I think one thing is that the reconvening, the reassessing, like everything coming together, the more you come together and discuss it and figure out what you want to be doing. I mean, Adam is really good at math. I suck at math. Like, do the math homework.
Right.
You know, just do the math homework.
Yeah, and that's awesome.
I'm really that good at English. That just gets harder and harder and harder.
Well, I know, like, Gideon is good at completing tasks. I suck at completing tasks.
Well, he sucks at completing tasks.
I'm like 75% and I'm like, done. And Gideon will write a letter, put it in the envelope, seal it, put a stamp on it, and drive to the post office and mail it. Like, he's like, I want it done. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I right? Yeah, he thinks that's really cool, but I think it's kind of pathetic. But it's actually, so sometimes I'll give him my mail, so he'll go.
Do you still have mail?
What do we have mail for? Bills?
Are you like part of Columbia House?
We bear AOL bill.
Right, right.
But anyway, it is helpful to identify strengths.
Right.
Like, we clearly have our strengths. And yeah. Play into those. Why not?
Right.
That's why you're a couple. And
I think Adam has so many more strengths than, like, I think he has a lot of strengths. And
like, what are his strengths?
Well, obviously anything with, I think any homework besides English is his strength. Science, math, all that stuff that he could be helping them with. I think obviously the instruments, Mia plays the guitar, Ian plays the drums. I think that could be totally his thing and would take one thing off my plate.
Anything technology,
you know, and I always say, here's another thing that's interesting is like when something in the house goes wrong that affects him, I'm so excited because I know it's going to get fixed like that he's going to be on it. TV, cable, internet, anything that has to do with him. If it doesn't have to do with him, it takes a lot longer to get fixed.
Right. But that is one thing that I would recommend to people to do is when you have these meetings and when you start to reevaluate things and look at things, also notice what's working. Like, there are things that are working.
Right.
So there's some division of labor that makes sense and is working. And evaluate that. Be like, why is that working? And then use whatever you discover from there to inform whatever new things you come up with.
Right.
So you don't need to sit down and say, okay, everything's not working, because probably some things are. Keep those. You know, the trash is working for you, and something's working for you. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's not, you know, I need to be the one to take care of whether the kids need therapy or the kids need tutors, or I need to be in charge of that.
Right.
That needs to be in my control. I will not be okay with anybody else controlling that.
And I think just sitting down and like, sharing that together and assigning that together is so validating, because now it's like, okay, this is my responsibility and this is your responsibility, and that just feels better, I think, than just like doing it and not really knowing if the other person is aware.
I agree.
And I think also one thing we were talking about is role modeling for our kids. So like, I feel like a lot of this mental load piece, it's not the man's fault and it's not the woman's fault. It's just sort of what we've been handed from generations past, and we're trying to change things and we're trying to figure things out, but we're in the midst of it. So we're going to make mistakes and, you know, we're going to piss each other off, but hopefully we're going to make things easier for the next generation.
Well, it's interesting also because we're going to do an organizing episode in a couple weeks, and we just had these women come and organize our house, you know, our closets and stuff. And the first thing that they say to do, the first most important thing, and when you watch these shows, you know, on HGTV and everything, the first thing to do is to empty it all. You know, is to empty it all and figure out, okay, what do you need? What do you not need? And then to reposition
it. Exactly what you're going to do with the Excel spreadsheet.
It's the same kind of thing that, you know, in order to get a handle on it and really organize your life, you need to assess everything, bring it all out, put it all on the table, and then say, you know, and delegate, like you said, an Excel spreadsheet. You know, what's mine? What's yours? What do we need to keep? What do we need to not keep? What maybe we need to, you know, put in our budget for a house cleaner. Maybe neither of us wants to be that person to clean the toilets and clean the, you know, what are we putting into our budget? Also, like you said, delegating, you know, what are we
maybe neither of us can do the homework. Maybe we're both working so much that we need to spend the $70 a week for a tutor. Like,
also, as your kids get older, you know, what can you delegate to your kids?
Right.
Because, you know, there's so much that we do for our kids that we don't need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if, like, you hate making lunches, which I personally don't hate making lunches, but if you hate making lunches for your kids, they can make their own lunches.
Right.
So things like that, you can start to think about it, and that benefits everybody because they develop some self-confidence and responsibility, and you get to take that off your plate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think almost that it'd be something that we could make a standard for, you know, that once it's all put out there that everybody can kind of participate in and add more things to, and we can make one document that people can download.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, where people can be reminded of all the things that you do. You don't even think about it.
Yeah, that, you know, and then you download it and you decide who wants to do what. So maybe I'll work on that.
That's great. I love that.
That's a good idea.
And that will change too. Like, and that's another thing. When you have little kids, it's going to be totally different than when you have big kids.
Right. That's true too.
You know, like homework is not an issue when you have toddlers, but, you know, diapers aren't an issue when you have teenagers.
Right.
Hopefully.
Hope not.
Right. True. All right. Anything else?
Amy?
I think that was everything.
I think we covered plenty.
Plenty.
Yes.
Are you telling me to go?
No, please stay. We want you to stay forever. I love it.
I'm going to go. You stay.
Okay.
Just keep talking.
All right.
Yeah. No, it was great. And I think this is such an important, I think we could do so many more episodes, but I think that just even acknowledging it, like we said, and putting it out there and talking about it and realizing that we do sometimes feel like we're drowning, and we feel like we're drowning and lonely at the same time. You're so lonely to bear that brunt of things and to feel like you're the one person worrying and you're the one person, you know, it's a hard thing to worry about. And I do think on the emotional level, I think men, I get it that you try, but it is it's a female thing to have that emotional brunt of things, and right. We worry in a different way. I think we're just built like that, and we just sometimes we just want the acknowledgement of, I see you, I see that you're worrying, I see it's for our children, and I get it. I get that it's emotionally and mentally draining and you're exhausted by it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you're not sitting around all day, you know, just eating bonbons. You really
right.
are.
Right. I can't see some of what you're doing. Yeah. And when you're exhausted, some of it has to do with the fact that you're up until 2 a.m. worrying that our kid didn't get, you know, picked in gym, or our kid didn't make the softball team, or our kid didn't get into the program that they applied for, or things that I don't think there's the same, you know, share load for.
Right.
Okay, Amy.
Thank you.
As always, we love you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
It was a great topic. I'm sure you have so many more because we want you back so many more times.
Okay, we'll come up with more.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. And happy birthday.
Happy birthday. All right. Bye, guys.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.